Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Does the idea of giving thanks for any failures you've experienced trouble you? Are you the kind of person to whom even the thought of failure makes your stomach turn into a hard knot, or maybe causes you to break out in a cold sweat? I hope not. And yet, it wouldn't surprise me if some of those listening to this podcast are that kind of person. One good thing about being as old as I am is that I grew up before the age of all positive. I grew up at a time when it wasn't a sin to fail. I grew up at a time when failing wasn't all that great, but it wasn't the end of the world. And as I grew older, I found that I was pretty good at failing. The nice thing about having some great big failures in your file is that you have a baseline. When you make a really, really big mistake and you fail big time, it's amazing how other things don't bother you nearly as much. I wish more pet owners took this approach when their animals develop behavioral problems. I wish they didn't take it so personally. I wish the idea that they would have to change in order to change the animal wasn't so distasteful to them that they couldn't handle it. They could do anything for the animal in terms of medication or gadgets. They had no trouble with changing the animal. But when it came to changing themselves, and the fact that step one in that meant to acknowledge they had made a mistake and to learn from the mistake, not to go into denial, not to run away, not to freeze, not to fight, but just to accept it and move on and make the necessary changes. So I grew up in a family of failures and I failed myself. We also had successes, don't get me wrong, but the failures were there. A while back, I was watching interviews with 15 contemporary influential women. And not being very up on pop culture, I didn't even recognize most of them. But one of the interviews has stuck in my mind because it struck me as an antidote to this all-positive myth. It was a very successful young woman, quite young, who, when asked what she considered one of the most instrumental factors in her success, mentioned that every day when she was a child, her father would ask her and her brother if they had failed that day. And the second part of the ritual, in a relaxed and upbeat way, was, "And what did you learn from this?" And what the young woman said was that this taught her two things. From a very young age, she learned that no matter how bad it felt at the time, failure was natural. And the second thing she learned was that failure always taught her something. Now you might say, well, success does exactly the same thing. But that hasn't been my experience. My experience, and that of a fair number of people if their own behavior indicates it, is that when we succeed at something, we want to succeed even more. It makes us more competitive. It makes us want more and more and more. But failure's a different thing. Failure's private. Failure's about making changes in ourselves. And it takes courage to do that too. So I'm thankful for my failures. I'm thankful for the really big, horrendous ones that I use as my baseline. Yeah, I might feel sucky for a few hours or so, or maybe even a couple days. But what happens when you allow yourself to fail is that you automatically move into the, what did I learn from this? And this to me is the tragedy of those folks who see their role in their animal's behavior as proof of their own failure and go into denial and anger. They never learn. And because of that, they're going to make the same mistakes again. There is not a bag of treats or enough ice cream, wine, or chocolate to take away that feeling. But if you see failure as an opportunity to change and to learn, not only to learn and change yourself, but to change your animal in the process, that's a failure to be thankful for. So this Thanksgiving, give thanks for your failures. Rack them up there. Look at them. If you seem to be repeating them, if you find yourself telling your friends, why do I always get the bad dogs? Why do I always get the dogs who are aggressive? Why do all my dogs have separation anxiety? Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? What can I do differently? Enjoy your Thanksgiving, whether you're celebrating it alone or with loved ones, or with a dog and cat, which, in my book, is the same as loved ones.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.